I noticed that my pushy, aggressive LinkedIn private messenger has disappeared now. It just says LinkedIn member, and the profile's no longer there. It's probably everything you shouldn't do in this thing. Exactly what you said. Can I just ask a question? And it went on to a big statement rant. And it asked me whether I'm in the 88% of businesses who have no effective lead generation or the 12%. And I said, I'm in the 12%. And then he just continues with the next thing about the secret formula and a calendar schedule link and bragging about his 85.9% opt-in rate. And then he's sending messages on top of messages about moving forward or sliding backward. And I said, well, so far I'd say you're sliding backwards.
This is Superfast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. I'm speaking with my special guest, Will Wang from growthlabs.com. That's with a Z. Welcome, Will.
Thanks, James. Special. I don't know if it's a good special or bad special. No, I like that. Thanks.
Yes. You are special, special enough to be back here on our The Get Clients series. The purpose of this series is to help a business owner understand what's going on when it comes to cold outreach in particular. This is your super skill. You can generate a whole stash of leads for a business from thin air using special techniques. And we're talking about these on our episodes. In the very first episode of this series, which was episode 610, we sort of covered the concept of getting clients through this outbound marketing channel, how effective it is, which business it's right for. So you could go and listen to that if you want to get a refresher. This is episode 613, and today we're talking about how to use emails for cold outreach. And I think I'll lead this charge, Will, with, are emails still relevant at the time of recording this in 2018/2019, just around the corner?
Yeah, so that's actually a really good question. And, you know, we've fancy things coming up like Facebook ads, Google ads. A lot of people are kind of hearing that emails aren't working, emails are dead, and it's always going around. But the thing is, though, we're finding that emails are actually becoming more and more effective, especially getting into some of the bigger accounts or some of the bigger customers that people are actually looking for.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think the perception is that people say email is dead because obviously there's a lot more people coming into the market. There's probably a lot more people spamming or doing emails the wrong way as well. So people think, oh, you know, the volume's going down, or, you know, I'm doing a lot of emails and it's not working. But what's really happening is there's more people in the market. There's more noise. So the people who aren't doing it right, obviously they think it's not working just because people are getting more used to being bombarded with different messages. So when we say that email is working, obviously you need everything working correctly to make a system work. It's kind of like if you put someone into Ferrari who's never driven a car before and you go, hey, here's the gas, here's the brakes, just go. They're likely to steer it into a pole or to crash it. But if you use it the right way, if you get some, you know, some thinking behind it, if you just apply pressure, the right turning, the right skills, it could be a really, really good vehicle.
Perfect. So it's really a great tool. It's just how people use the tool that is going to make the difference between success and failure. And I'll just put a highlight of fact here that in my business, email is the single biggest driver of the sales process. So I'm a huge fan of email. If you do it right, if you have the right setup, and of course, your messaging has to be fantastic. And I'm sure we're going to cover that. One of the things that I've found pretty important is the subject line. I'm wondering what kind of subject lines we might have when we're sending out a cold outreach. This is to someone who may not ever have heard from us before.
Yeah. So obviously cold outreach is very different than to sending an email to a warm audience or a list that you've built before. Typically when we look at cold outreach, a lot of people look at it and say, how do I get my business in front of people? How do I get my brand in front of people? Or how do I make them understand what we do? But if you go down that path, everything starts going wrong and you start using the wrong subject lines and the wrong copy. The way that we look at it is, what benefit do you actually provide to the customers that you want to work with? So there's a few subject lines or types of subject lines that we like working with. Things like, you know, just talk about the benefits. So, hey, here's how I can help you. Or, you know, even using case studies, for example, here's a client we've helped, here's the results we've got. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But generally, if you focus on them or if you focus on the customers, it makes the writing and the subject and the copy, that just becomes a lot easier.
So it's an interesting one. You said, here's is a case study we've got that does sound like it's revolving around you, but I imagine the case study has to be relevant to that particular industry or that client's business.
Yeah, that's right. So you wouldn't necessarily walk into a small business and say, hey, here's a case study about McDonald's. But if you've got a case study that's relevant, you know, that might be in the same industry as them, or the business owners might be the same size as them, and you know what benefit you help your other clients with, that might actually be something that's really valuable. Because, for example, if you're a small business owner that's struggling, in our case, when we send our own cold emails, if business owners are struggling finding leads or getting sales, then we can talk about someone who's in the same industry and what we did to kind of help them and get them to where they are now.
So what if you don't have a case study yet? If you think, okay, I'm listening to this series, I think cold outreach might be useful. Let's say they even contact you and they say, Will, I'd like Growth Labs to help me. What would you do in that case?
Yeah, so if there's no case study or there's no background or clients that they can name drop, there's a couple of things that I'd look at. So obviously, if you can, you know, find a case study somewhere, and your own case study would be the best, obviously. But even if you don't, there's another company, I can't quite remember who they were off the top of my head, but they wrote this massive case study based on, I think it was IKEA, and how IKEA went to dominate the marketplace and the marketing that they did, and the branding and things like that. And so even though they weren't the agency or the marketers who worked with IKEA, because they wrote this whole big case study about the company, they've now got some social proof and they've got some ideas that because they've broken it down and that because they've dived deep and, you know, got the strategies, got the execution, they can kind of leverage that and just open a conversation with leads.
Right. So if you don't have one, you can case study something out there in the marketplace that people can relate to. I guess that's probably why it's hard to pick up a business book and not read about Bill Gates, Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, etc. You're going to hear about these people over and over and over again because everyone likes to champion them as a reference point, even though they probably have no personal contact. And you said something else then sort of slipped in there that I thought was fascinating. That was name drop. Can you just tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so it depends on where people are in the business and the clients they've got. You know, some pretty well known or some brand name clients, it's always really good to name drop the clients if you can. What that does is it just builds a whole bunch of social proof and it just says to the market, hey, you know, if James or if Will can work with these guys and these big company trust them with whatever they're doing, well, maybe we should give them a second look as well. So it just really helps to get over that hurdle of, you know, trust, some of the objections that might come up, and it just, you know, everything that we can, we kind of stack in our favor to get us across the line.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, on a technical perspective, we might be wondering, is it okay to send someone an email out of the blue? Like, where does it fall within the regulations of spam, GDPR, etc.? And with the caveat that I'm not a lawyer, so we're not giving advice here. This is just it is probably a sensitive area that someone would want addressed.
Yeah, it definitely is. And again, I'm not a lawyer as well. I'm so far from a lawyer, it's not funny. But yeah, I've spoken to many lawyers about this. And there's a couple of main issues, right? So the first one is everyone's probably well aware of GDPR, which is when the UK kind of said, hey, you've got to stop. You know, we're going to treat data a little bit more seriously. So I have looked through the rules and I've consulted lawyers and things like that. I mean, don't take my word as gospel. Obviously, talk to your own lawyers. But the way that I think it boils down to it is it's okay to send emails to businesses, so to commercial clients, rather than personal, you know, people who haven't opted into your email list, rather. So from a B2B perspective, cold emails into businesses and corporations, that's still okay and that's still working well in the UK.
Great. So when it comes to the email itself, we've sort of tackled the idea of email still good. We've got some indications as to what we might put in the subject line. We're okay with the medium and who we're sending it to from a legal technical perspective. If we're comfortable with that, what do we actually put in the emails?
Yep. So the emails, I should jump back. Sorry, James, I'm going to jump back one to the other point we were just talking about because something just came up to the top of my mind. So as you were saying, that kind of jogged my memory. So countries like UK and Australia, so they do have rules around spam emails, but typically B2B is okay. But Canada is actually quite strict on that. So if you're sending B2B emails, or if you want to get into businesses within Canada, you probably should get onto LinkedIn or use some other platform rather than cold emails. But everywhere else is generally okay. The US is great for cold emails.
Yes, I think culturally even the US seems to be much more open to a direct approach because judging from my LinkedIn, every second private message is someone saying, hey, we've got a few friends in common, we should connect. That's message one. Message two is some bold, brazen pitch that takes little or no regard for my situation. The message is untargeted. And after giving them some cheeky responses, they get confused. And I want to create a podcast episode to send these people to get a better education because they're missing the mark on so many levels. All right. So what goes in the emails?
Cool. I'm going to go around that question again. And look, I might just touch on what not to put in emails and what not to put in messages, if that's okay. And then I'll get into the flip side of that.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
It won't have such and such. Sure.
Exactly. So what not to do is, you know, for me, quite important, because if you look at the people who think emails don't work, if you look at these spammers, you'll see, you know, why they're not getting results, right? Because they're just spamming people, you know, or they're trying to be deceptive. So I'm not sure about you, James, but I've got a lot of LinkedIn connection requests or emails saying, hey, quick question. And then you say, well, you know, okay, what's the question? And then it's just a whole wall of text and a whole pitch. So don't do that. You know, obviously, don't spam and don't make it all about you as well, because the way that I approach emails and LinkedIn and the reason why we get the numbers we do is because we think, hey, it's the start of a relationship. Let's try and understand each other before we even go into anything like a pitch. So when we write emails or when we write emails for ourselves or for our clients, I've got this I think it's got a Venn diagram, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the one where we've got circles and the circles overlap.
Yep, that's the Venn diagram.
Yeah, cool. Got that right. So we've got a Venn diagram on our office wall and it's three circles. So we've got value as one of them, social proof as the second one, and humor as the third email. So in the middle where they all overlap, I've got dollar signs. Now, what I mean by that is when we're sending emails to someone, the first and most important thing that we worry about is, are we trying to create value for the customers, right? Are we trying to create value for the leads, or are we talking about them and what we can help them with rather than talking about us or trying to pitch them on the first email? Now, the second point was social proof was, you know, if you can use case studies, that's great. You know, use case studies, or if you can name drop big clients, that's really good as well. And the third point was humor. So make it human. And, you know, ultimately the person reading the email is another person, not a robot and not just an office worker. They've got lives as well. So if you can get all three factors or all three principles in there, you're going to have a really, really good cold email. Now, the most important bit of that is obviously value. So even if you're missing social proof and humor, you can still get away with it just by having value. But value is absolutely essential. But backed up with everything else, it's a really good, you know, way of approaching the messaging.
Perfect. So where do we go from here? We've got the emails. Like, how many emails would we typically have in a campaign?
Yeah, so typically I'd write between 5 to 8 emails within a cold outreach campaign. It's not all the same message or the same subject lines, but typically between 5 to 8 emails.
Right. And what happens if you're, I mean, I suppose there's a decision tree here, like either you get a response early, or you get no response, or you get a very positive response or a very negative response or nothing at all. Like, yeah. How do you know if you're on track or not, I suppose? Do you have some benchmarks that you work towards?
Yeah, look, we do have some internal company benchmarks. I think ours are probably a little bit higher than what the rest of the marketplace is doing. But typically when we're running campaigns for ourselves or for our client, we'd like to get about above a 75% open rate. So that means of every 100 people we send an email to, 75 of them at one point in the sequence would open the email and have a read. We target a response rate of above 15%. So typically we're sitting about, I think our average is around 30%. But of the 100 people that we message, we do expect a response from at least 15 of them.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. I suppose if you were to push the limit on some platforms, you're going to be removed. I noticed that my pushy, aggressive LinkedIn private messenger has disappeared now. It just says LinkedIn member and the profile's no longer there. It's probably everything you shouldn't do in this thing. Exactly what you said. Can I just ask a question? And it went on to a big statement rant. And it asked me whether I'm in the 88% of businesses who have no effective lead generation or the 12%. And I said, I'm in the 12%. And then he just continues with the next thing about the secret formula and a calendar schedule link and bragging about his 85.9% opt-in rate. And then he's sending messages on top of messages about moving forward or sliding backward. And I said, well, so far I'd say you're sliding backwards. He said, thanks for your feedback. Actually, my business is growing steadily. And I said, I meant with me. He goes, thanks for clarifying. And he said, sorry, but it's, you know, you can't please everyone. Good marketing simultaneously attracts and repulses people. You're probably just not a good fit for what I do. I'm starting to wonder who would be a good fit for his approach. I said, yes, I think identifying that fairly early is what good marketing is. Bad marketing is selling someone who's not a good fit. And then next thing you know, he's disappeared off the whole LinkedIn platform. So I guess he's just taken a massive crash here. And the scary thing is his business name is, it's implying some kind of smart marketing. So I think you've got to be very careful what providers you use. Have you noticed this? I mean, just reflecting back on my time as an SEO business, when we had that for 7 years and then I sold that business, there was a lot of really bad suppliers in our industry and most of them went broke. Are you finding that there are different levels of people providing this cold outreach service?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the marketing industry itself, there's always some ups and downs and there's always people out there not doing what they should be doing in terms of getting their clients' results. So there definitely are people who just use generic and canned responses and they really play the numbers game. So they're not playing the value game in terms of what can we help people with. They're playing the game where they go, well, if I message 1,000 people with this generic canned response, at least one or two of them would get back to me. And that's a really, really quick way to get your accounts banned. You know, that's a really quick way to build a really bad reputation for yourself. And I just don't recommend it. It's not the right way to do business because at the end of the day, look, we're using cold emails and LinkedIn or whatever platform we're on to start a relationship and a long-term relationship with our clients. So you got to look at it and say, look, do I want to start our relationship off with a lie or with deception? Or do I genuinely want to help them and provide value and become a trusted advisor? And I think if you want to do the latter, you know, you have to do it correctly. Whereas a former, you know, go ahead, get your accounts banned. The people doing it right will still be around in 5 or 10 years' time.
Yeah, I think a long-term approach is a great idea. It's unbelievable to me how many people say they've been listening to this podcast for years. And I get probably get an email every single day, which is nice. And I'm very, very thankful for that. People saying they really appreciate this. And I want to say I appreciate what you're bringing to this because this is a new field for me. And I'm sure for many people out there just have no idea how this works. We've all received a terrible cold outreach email. And I think it's easy to think that they're all like that. So what if people do reject you? Is it just a case of move on or do you change something about your campaign with that rejection?
Yeah, it just depends. If you do this correctly, it's really funny because, you know, when I'm actually a bit of an introvert. So when I first started, I didn't do well with rejection. But the way that we're using email, you get the nicest rejection emails. Like, it's really funny because people write back and go, hey, that was a really good email. Like, well done. That was creative and positive. We're just not in the right place in our business or it's just not something that we're looking for. But that was a good email. I just want to write back and let you know. So it's a lot nicer being rejected nicely. But that being said, you know, we do monitor positive response rates and negative response rates. And if it's overly negative, then something's not working. So there is a scientific way of approaching it. And we do track the numbers across each step of the process.
Yep. Nice. Okay. So I think that's always good. I agree with you that getting negative feedback, it's not palatable in the beginning. It's easy to take personally. And I came from a sales field. And some sales trainers actually teach, hey, look, just you need, you know, 3 no's to get a yes or whatever. And that's a little bit limiting. It just means that you're making offers that are not appropriate, perhaps. So it's good to take the feedback. If you can ask where you've messed up, if you do get a really harsh negative feedback, then it's always a learning opportunity. And occasionally someone isn't a good fit or they're just angry at the world and you just walked into it. And that can happen. So it's a fine line. I mean, ideally, you create a system where you have almost no negative feedback. So you're getting a positive rejection in a way, saying that they really wish they could do business with you. So just a final sort of technical question. How many emails would you be sending out in a day? Are you focusing on one campaign at a time or are you running multiple campaigns on a daily basis? Like I imagine being an agency, you having some significant volume.
Yeah. So typically for our clients, because of the way that we've approached the game and the response rates that we get, we're finding that we only need to send between 20 to even, you know, maximum would be 50 emails a day to fill up a salesperson's pipeline. So each salesperson would only get between 20 to 50 a day. And the response rates that we're getting, that's more than enough to keep them busy. That's more than enough to get them a great return as well. So people think it's about a numbers game. It's actually not. You don't need huge numbers to make this work. You just need to really have a good system, a good product, and a good way of approaching the market.
Perfect. Well, you've always got the great ideas, Will. I appreciate you sharing this. I'd suggest that we get back together and we talk about who to contact for lead generation in our next episode. I'm really looking forward to that one. So thank you so much for sharing.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me on again, James. Great fun.
That's all right. So I've been chatting with Will Wang from growthlabs.com. It's Growth Labs with a Z. And this is the Get Clients series. We're going to help you get clients through cold outreach. And we have a few more tricks up our sleeve down the track. And this is episode 613. There is a full transcript available at superfastbusiness.com where you can read this episode if you prefer. And thank you so much. I look forward to catching you on a future episode.
Thanks, James. Catch you all soon.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.